Live from the hills of Westwood, this is Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins weekly news and culture talk show at UCLAradio.com. I'm Janaki Mehta.
And I'm Sid Shah. It's 6 p.m. and you're listening to Long Story Short at UCLAradio.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at Daily Bruin Radio and check out our Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page to check out all our stories and interviews.
So, Sid, how was your weekend?
It was actually pretty good because I hadn't been to Venice in a long time. Well, apart from the time I did Dine LA, but I went to Abbot Kinney for First Fridays.
Oh, nice.
The food trucks.
Yeah. I've been there, I think, once. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun because the options you get is crazy.
Uh-huh.
And just to be in that crowd, First Fridays is a great experience.
Yeah. I hope you didn't drive. It's hell to find parking.
So we went in two cars, a couple of friends, and we did drive, and yes, parking was hell, but we were lucky enough
to find... It's worth it, yeah.
Yeah, we found parking right next to Abbot Kinney. We were fine.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice
work. We got
lucky.
All right,
well...
What about you?
I have not that much. I mean, I went home for the weekend, went to San Diego. I also did a lot of eating, went to a couple restaurants in downtown San Diego, which was loads of fun. But yeah, not much else. Anyway, back to the show. On Long Story Short, we don't mess around. From science and health to arts and politics, local news and campus buzz to social life and dating, we're here to talk about it all. That being said, we've got a fantastic show in store tonight.
All right, UCLA. The LAPD has recently raised $1.3 million to deploy 600 lapel cameras on the bodies of officers by this summer. Daily Bruin's opinion columnist Ryan Nelson is here in the studio to talk about why this was done and how this would alter law enforcement on campus.
On January 17th, Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency in California because of the ongoing droughts. This shortage has greatly affected rural and agricultural communities. Although we may not have felt the full effects of the shortage on campus, the city of Los Angeles is pleading for the curbed use of water. Sid and I will discuss what we can do to help as an educated community. So there's been a recent movement among police departments to attach cameras to the lapels of their police officers while they go about their daily duties. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding the issue as it's considered to be an invasion of privacy. However, Ryan Nelson from the Daily Bruin Opinion is here to talk about what the benefits of this would be and how it could prevent police brutality. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good. So can you tell us a little bit more about this idea of attaching cameras to police officers and sort of what the chances of the lapel camera being implemented by the UC police system really is?
Yeah. So essentially, lapel cameras act as just mini cameras that sit on the shoulder of the police officers and follow them around, and they record everything the officer does, essentially, which would add to the crew dashboard cameras already in police cruisers. But they offer, obviously, more of a point of view as to what happened. LAPD just started a pilot program where they're equipping 600 of their officers with it. And I think it would be a good idea if the UCPD did the same thing, because UCPD doesn't fall under LAPD. They're their own establishment.
Right.
So, okay, so this is not happening at UCPD, but would there be any right now, but would there be any issues with consent regarding people being filmed and, you know, the information which is being withheld? Or what are the privacy issues that arise with the camera?
Right. So there has been this idea that cameras can alter the way people act around you just because you know you're being filmed. And so people have not been privy to wanting that. But I think the issue is that given that there's such a small amount of psychological data on that, I think it's worth it to be pragmatic and at least try it.
Right.
Since there have been tangible results shown in police departments that have done this.
Uh-huh.
So the academic question, I think, can be answered with more data.
Okay, so I had a follow-up on that because I don't know if this was what sparked it, but I was watching the local news the other day and a fireman was arrested because they weren't willing to move the vehicle off the highway, and CPH took one of the firemen away, and this was all filmed not on a lapel camera, but by news crews, because this was the scene of an accident, by news crews and a dashboard camera. So this was this the spark for LAPD investing so much, or has this been a discussion for a while now?
You know, it's weird. Police departments are only, you can only get a hold of them with 911, so they're hard to get comments from. But I wouldn't say that that was the final straw. LAPD's kind of always had a really sketchy history. I mean, literally one of their officers just went on a rampage last year. Like, a little bit more transparency in the police department is not a bad thing. The one that set it over the edge, in my opinion, for UCPD was this Judge Cunningham got pulled over in November, and he filed a $10 million lawsuit against the UCPD claiming that there was racial bias in how he was treated after he was pulled over.
Right, and exactly. In your column, you say that the new idea of having these lapel cameras doesn't necessarily suggest that police are inherently untrustworthy, you say?
No.
But, you know, there, like you just said, there have been many cases of police brutality, and a lot of them have been considered to be completely unwarranted and discriminatory. And can you kind of elaborate on how having these lapel cameras could reduce or even eliminate police brutality?
Well, yeah, I'd be careful there. It's not to say that there's been an uptick in racial profiling cases or violence. I'm just saying that cops are human, and obviously civilians are human, and people are going to screw up. And just the more hard, neutral data you can have backing it up, the faster things are going to get resolved. You know, some people might not even file complaints knowing that they're going to have to see themselves on video.
Right. And earlier I was going to say, has anyone complained about consent regarding people being filmed in public? Like, I was wondering if there is an issue with that, because I know people take pictures of other people in public, but with authorities filming people, especially, you know, whoever they're dealing with in
right.
an intimate
that's,
situation.
That's still kind of a sketchy legal area,
okay.
especially given all the concerns over privacy rights and the NSA tapping and stuff
right,
like that.
Exactly.
So there's a lot to be done on that. But like I said, there's tangible evidence that proves that police lapel cameras have police brutality, and they decreased complaints. So I think given the tangible evidence, it's worth to at least see.
Mm.
If there are unknown psychological effects, then ditch them. But until then, it's worth it, given
okay.
the data we have.
All right, let's get back to the UC. Where will the money come from when we want to put these lapel cameras onto UCPD officers? And are they down to have lapel cameras, or is there any other university campus doing this already?
Right. So the UCPD's a statewide system, which means it would have to come from the top, and it would go to all of them. Like UCLA, I don't think could do it by themselves. When I talked to the UCOP, the Office of the President, they said that there were no plans yet, and they were just kind of looking into it. The money, let's see, we calculated that it would cost about $1.15 million to do. I don't know where the exact source of funding would come from,
right.
but $1.15 million is almost nothing to the university, which sounds weird to say, but like they have administrators making that much money. They can find it, in my opinion. If they deem it worth it, they can find $1.15 million.
Okay. Awesome. Janaki, do you have any other follow-up questions?
No, that's it. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ryan.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Janaki and I are going to have a discourse about the ongoing California drought. Stay tuned to find out why and how you can help to manage the water in general. Welcome back, guys. According to California.gov, in the United States, about 12 to 13% of fresh water is used for domestic purposes that range from showering to watering plants and so on. 2013 was the driest year recorded in the history of some regions in California, with wildfires frequencies increasing, and these frequencies increasing into the winter, which is pretty surprising. The 2013-2014 school year has been that of severe droughts, with Governor Brown declaring a state of drought emergency and allocating emergency services to affect the afflicted rural agricultural communities. Southern California is especially prone to these droughts because technically we get most of our water from the Colorado River, which is, as they say, running dry. And also we get it from the springs. Well, it's not from the springs. It's recycled water from the Sierra Nevada springs that technically goes to NorCal. Brown has asked Californians to cut their water use by 20%. Now, people don't realize that since domestic water usage is only about 12% of fresh water use, in the U.S. at least, reducing shower time is not the only solution. here in LA, we have a history of simulation ranging from Disney to Universal Studios with, you know, the LA simulacra culture. We like to mock different landscapes, and similarly, we have simulated vegetation from the world over. And these non-native plants require a lot of water, and you see people unabashedly use a ton of water during the day, which is actually not allowed by the county of LA. At UCLA, we don't feel the effects of this drought because the LADWP has paid for the water we receive so that our consumption continues to be excessive without any hitches. With 2012 being the hottest year ever recorded and 2013 being the driest year, this combination of heat and cold, dry winds descending from the north has dried up pretty much a lot of Southern California. Anyway, I don't mean to sound pessimistic or doomsday-ish, but with all this happening around us, I feel we really need to take things that don't affect us seriously, because the future depends on the actions we perform today.
Yeah, I could not agree more with you, Sid. I feel like it's time for the people of California and really just everyone in the whole world to realize how valuable of a resource water really is. It's just really not infinitely available to us. And some counties up north in California who actually get their sources of water from mountain springs, as you said, recycled water from these springs, are having to rely on other sources. According to Forbes magazine's article on February 5th, Santa Cruz County has stopped restaurants from serving water unless diners actually request it, which I think is great. It's a great way to save water. And pools aren't allowed to be filled anymore, at least at this point. And in some counties, like in Marin County, which is also up north, for example, people are not allowed to wash their cars with hoses. And there's been a pretty heavy enforcement of this. People are being fined for violating these laws. And in the same Forbes article, Governor Jerry Brown said this great quote that I thought did really well to get the message across. He says, "This is not a partisan adversary. This is Mother Nature. We have to get on nature's side and not abuse the resources that we have." And I really couldn't agree more. You know, I thought we could share some fun and easy ways to conserve water. And like you said, domestic use of water is not necessarily, you know, a huge amount of it. But
we can always do our part. You know, okay, yeah. I want to tell the listeners that in spite of the fact that I just put out that, you know, we use only 12% of fresh water, which is not much, but I want to iterate the fact that we definitely make an impact. And
right.
It shouldn't stop us from, you know, doing the little things which add up in the end.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to say, we can share some tips that people can do every day to save water, kind of think more creatively in how we use our water. Like, okay, so firstly, when you give your pets water or you use water for things like making pasta, where it's not necessarily dirtying the water, it's just not drinkable, instead of throwing it out, just use it to feed your plants. It's still perfect. Useful for plants. And this way you use the water you can't cook in and you aren't wasting tons of water like when you use a hose, for example, to water your plants.
Did you know that if you turn off the water while washing your hair, you can save up to 150 gallons a month?
That is a lot of water.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think it's something like 4 gallons a minute in a shower that you use.
See, like I was saying, we don't realize the effects because we pay for our utilities, but the fact that, you know, we have this surplus of water, quote unquote, we waste so much. And like Janaki was saying, it's 4 gallons a minute, which is a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. Especially if you look at, you know, how much we drink in a day and you look at 4 gallons, that is a lot of water. And so if you're watering plants, for example, in the morning, do it in the morning, or maybe later in the evening when temperatures are cooler. It makes sense, you know, avoid windy days because water dries up quickly with sun and wind, obviously. And you save up to 25 gallons each time you water if you don't do it in the peak of the heat of the day. You can also stop using your toilet as a trash can and minimize flushes as much as possible. Each flush can range from 4 to 7 gallons.
You can keep a bucket near the shower or in your kitchen sink. So when you're waiting for the water to heat up, which, you know, we all do, we turn it on, wait for it heat up, and then we go in. And I didn't realize this, but we waste a lot of water in just doing that much.
Yeah. Exactly.
Instead of just letting it run down the drain, we can always collect it and use that for soaking dishes or watering our plants or cleaning purposes.
Yeah, and it's really important with, like, your dishwasher or just your washer to do laundry. Make sure to only run it when it's full so that we're using the maximum capacity and to its highest efficiency.
And fix those pesky leaks, guys. You can save up to 55 gallons a month if you get a leak fixed immediately. Like, these points were jotted down by Janaki, which is really good because it shows us we can do a lot more than just less showering. Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you so much, Janaki. Anyways, you've been listening to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins Weekly News and Culture Talk Show at UCLARadio.com. Don't forget to check us out and like us on the Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at Daily Bruin Radio. The show is also available as a podcast on iTunes under Daily Bruin Radio.
Special thanks to our guest Ryan Nelson from Daily Bruin Opinion, and also thank you so much to our broadcast producer Christiana Cabal, our radio director Bianca Brosis, and our sound engineer Hannah Jacobs.
As we head towards the final weeks of this quarter and start signing up for new classes, let's not forget to help out the environment in the midst of this academic chaos. Keep it green, UCLA.
Thanks a lot.